Jesus' name we press on. Yeah, Lord, with the prize near before our eyes, we'll find the strength to press on.
Yeah, we have the closing prayer. Press on, press on, press on. Don't give up now. Press on. We are almost home. Keep press on. Today, if I should ask you, how is your world? What would your answer be? Is your world okay? No, it's not good, right? It's not good. But despite all that is happening, we still have good news. What is the good news? Kingdom of God is at hand. Now, this morning, what time is it anyway? I don't know because that clock is saying 10:20. I think it's a little bit older than that, right?
11:52.
11:52. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. So the next 3 hours we go home, right? All right. But this morning, on a serious note, when we look at the condition of our world, we would have said that we are in dire danger. And some might even go further to say that it's nothing good can come out of this. But I want to tell you this morning that don't look at what you are seeing. Look at the one who is able to pluck you out of the fire. A long time ago, we have learned in the scriptures that there was a man who was a righteous man. A man who stand up for justice and truth. A man who would give all that he have to those who were in need. A man who would pray very often for his children. A man who feared God, who loved God, who honored God. And in the midst of this man's life, on a beautiful day, destruction struck. Bad things happen to even the best of us. Amen. This morning we learn in the Sabbath school lesson that sometimes we undermine the one who is the instigator behind suffering and murder and death. But we're quick to put everything on God. You know, I don't know. I'm a good person. I'm trying. How could God allow this to happen to me? If God's so loving and kind, if God's so good, why is this happening to me and my family? What could it be that while you are going through your crucible, God is bragging about you? When you are going through those trying times, God is saying, look at my daughter, look at my son. He will never denounce me as being his God or her God. He said the man Job was a very rich man. He have a lot of animals. He have a lot of kids too. Not like some of us who only have 2 and 3. He have 10. And one day, terror strike. One terror after the other. As bad news ended, another one started. And I can understand if you have some animals and you lose them. And I can understand if you have your bank account and it's depleted. And I can understand if you have a house and it burned down. But when it comes to having your children and have to get that sad news that you have lost all your children, I don't understand. How can someone cope in a time when you are trusting God and believing that God is worthy to be praised and you get that news that all your children have died, even after you have been praying for them? And if this story had ended right there, some of us maybe would have been blaming God. You know, look at Job. I can't even measure up to Job's lifestyle, you know. He practiced righteousness. He do what is right. He do good things and all of these good things. And how could God just sit by and allow Job to suffer such an act of terror? Let us pray. Our God and our Father, this morning, Lord, many of us are going through our crucibles and we don't understand why. Lord, forgive us. So sometimes we put the blame on you, God. We try to present ourselves to you as being good, but we recognize, God, that the only good one is you. And your desire, oh God, is to protect and to bless and to provide security for your children. On the other hand, oh God, we know that there is a murderer. We know that he's going around, oh God, creating havoc. And sometimes, God, we fail to see him as the instigator. Please forgive us this morning and help us, oh God, even in our trying time, to hold fast, not to give up now, but to keep pressing on. For we believe, oh God, according to your word, that we are nearing home. Please, God, someone here today that might be at the end of their rope, does not know, Lord, what the next moment will be. I pray, God, from your word, that we may find rest and surety and comfort, knowing that you will never leave us nor forsake us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We want to go back to the scripture reading this morning from where we're taken from 1 Peter chapter 4. We start reading from verse 7. One of the hardest things to do is to get someone to understand that you care when they are suffering. A lot of time when someone are going through trying times, they just want to lock themselves away or to become isolated. And sometimes we got to be careful, even when someone is going through their pain, what we say to them. Though the intention may be good, at the time they may receive it as an offense. We don't want to be like Job's friends. Because not every suffering that we go through is because we have done something wrong. And a lot of time we hear people saying, oh, you know, he must have done something wrong. How could someone just pronounce upon him and create such a hurt to the person? The devil don't care how he kill you. His desire is to destroy you. And a lot of time, the people that he used to get under your skin are people that are very, very close to you, even of your own household.
Amen.
So we need to understand the one who is behind suffering. We need to understand the one who is trying to allure us to believe that God does not deserve worship. And we need to understand also that when you are going through your trying time, it doesn't mean that God forgotten you. God said he will never leave us nor forsake us. As a matter of fact, the scripture said that God said that when we go through the fire, he will be there with us. And when we go through the water, he will be there with us. So I want to tell somebody this morning, don't give up now. We are nearing home.
Yes. Amen.
Verse 7 of 1 Peter chapter 4 said, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. I think our biggest issue right now as Christians is that we are not praying enough. We are taking the enemy too lightly. And when we leave ourselves vulnerable to him, he give us a hard blow. And when he give us those blows, he's not giving you a blow to make you think that he's near. He's trying to kill you. Why am I saying this today? Look at what is going on in our world. I mentioned the other day that in Jamaica, I see the news. Two brothers were talking about having a fuss over a bill, to pay a bill. And the other one give the brother a neck hole and choke him until he die. And I'm saying, is this real? Where is the love that we supposed to have in this time? And someone might ask, I couldn't do that. Are you sure? Sometimes we get so angry that maybe we could have done something even worse than that. If not for the love of God that constrain us, we would have find ourselves being active and in Satan's army just like anyone else. And if you don't believe that Satan can get you down, wait until you are tried. And see what you're thinking and what sometimes even come out of your mouth. Brothers and sisters, these are end time. The end is not going to come. The end is here. We need to live soberly, knowing that this is end time. some of the things that we are seeing even in our society today, the confusion that Satan brings to the mind of people. You have to be wondering, are we in a different world? What happened in the past 30 years? How could things just turn upside down in such a short time? And then we have to understand where we are, that his time is short and he's turning up the heat. And he has one destiny, one intention is to kill and destroy as many of God's children as he can. And it don't matter how we bring you down. Brothers and sisters, these are not joke time. And we better get prepared for some solid sermons. Now is not time to come and make people laugh. This is life and death. One of the things that we learn from our society is that men love becomes so cold. People don't love people much anymore. Even within the family, we have all this rivalry going on, and sometimes it's over some little petty things. Things that neither gonna do you or the person any good. I remember some years ago, I went to a lawyer and a professor, an English professor from Yale, to do some work at their house. And they had been retired now, and they were moving out of town, and all the big certificates that they have and the accomplishment, you know what they did with them? Right. They threw them in the garbage. Mean nothing to them anymore. They have used it, and now they don't need it. The only thing that will last is our relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. Brothers and sisters, let us refocus our mind. Let us renew our mind upon spiritual things, because the end is near. Yes. Throughout history, the church and the human race have been struggling how to love and care for each other. And so it's not something that we just inherit today. It was there. That's why it is in the scriptures. Peter said in verse 8, and above all things, have fervent love or charity among yourself. For love or charity shall cover the multitude of sin. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man had received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracle of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So when we come together as God's children, whatever we are doing, it should not point to me or to you. It should be for the glory and the praise of Almighty God. We are here today not because we are good, even though we look good. But remember the suffering that are going beyond these doors. Remember those who are bound by Satan to circumstances. So many are trapped at home. They are in a war for their mind. And they don't know how to win the war because, you see, they think that they are sick. And that's what Satan put in their mind. And so many of us today, we understand from the medical professionals that whatever you're going through, you are mentally ill. But in Christ's time, He would have searched you and know that you are spiritually ill, that you are possessed with the mind of Satan, demon possession. We don't talk about that these days because, you see, we don't have the spiritual eyes to see that someone, the difference between someone who is mentally challenged and someone that is spiritual challenged. When we see a brother holding a brother and choking him to death, that's not a mental illness. That's a spiritual illness. He had lost love for his brother, and so he is at a point where he's so angry. You remember what happened in the early scriptures where we learn about Cain and Abel? One decided that he wanted to serve God and do what God said, and the other one decided that, God, I'm going to serve you the way I want to serve you. And a result of that, we see what happened. Murder. And not only murder, that one was cast out. Brothers and sisters, these are trying times. And we will go through suffering. And we will go through trying times. And we will suffer pain, some of us. And some of us even will suffer abandonment. But I want to assure you that wherever you are, God can find you. God can rescue you. God can bring you to a place where you are sheltered and protected. Amen. It is very sad, some of the news that we are hearing. Yes. And when I think about our dear sister Brittany, how can I not say something? This young girl, when I first met her, she was in school. And after she finished school, she decided she was going to go to Japan. Welcome, Sister Japan. Welcome. I know you love her. That's why you're here, you know. So, but when she went to Japan, I would ask her mother, how is my daughter doing? And one day she came back and she brought me a T-shirt from Japan, you know. And I cherished that T-shirt until we had a fire and it was destroyed. But I remember her quiet face. And no one knew that this would what would happen to her at this time. We see her with a great future. And not because she's resting from her labor now doesn't mean that she have not have a future. Our future is not completed here. I just want you to understand that. After we have gone through all our suffering here, God have a better plan and a better place for us. So wherever you are in your walk with Jesus Christ, I'm encouraging you not to turn back now. Keep pressing on. Victory is over the mountain. And by God's grace and through his love and his mercy, we will all get there if we continue to allow him to lead. Amen. And the good news is that none of us have to run before the other. We will all get there together. Amen. Brothers and sisters, why am I saying this? We need to look back to those who have fallen and see how we can help them to be motivated to press on. We need to look at those who are discouraged and see how by God's grace we can give them a word of encouragement through the word of God. We need not be happy for someone who have been fallen. You know, the enemy like gossip, you know that, right? And when you do something bad, everybody knows. But you see, when you do something good, it's not a big deal. You should have been doing good anyway. Amen. That's how the enemy work. But we want to lift up Christ whenever he had done something good, because he always doing something good. That's why the Bible teaches us that we should come into his gates with praise and with thanksgiving. It's all about Jesus. And if we love God enough, then we must love each other. The time is at hand. And God's people must demonstrate to the world that we are different from the world. Leave the fussing and fighting to the people that are in darkness. The people that have been renewed by the power of God's Spirit in our mind must live as we have been given the grace of God. Time is running out. And if Peter was saying that all things is at hand then, some 2,000 years ago, what should I be saying today? Why is the church of God not recognizing that we are on the very brink of eternity? Why are we getting caught up in this false sense of security when there is no sense in it? I was thinking the other day and I said, you know, what have I accomplished? You think you have a house, you think you have a car. What is that? Is that anything?
No.
It's nothing. Sooner or later, you don't even know where you are if life lasts so long. All of that means nothing to you. The only things that will last is, have I give bread to my hungry sister or brother? Did I hear their cry when they call? Did I act as Christ acted on my behalf? Those are the things that will make sense. Because whatsoever man soweth, you shall receive. A time of reward is coming. And if we don't sow for Christ, then we are sowing for the enemy. And you know that the enemy have no destination, right? He already been defeated. So we don't even want to talk about him because he's not going anywhere. What we want to talk about is the goodness of Jesus Christ. And when you are going through your suffering, don't see it as being pitiful. If we suffer for Jesus Christ, the scripture said, we should be happy. Even though no suffering is pleasant. But the suffering for Christ is a different. Because we know that he suffered for us. And so when we suffer for him, we know that he is taking notice. The other thing, when we think about Job and his life and all that he have lost, how did the story end?
He was restored.
He was restored, sister, you sure?
He was.
Are you sure? I think the whole church should be saying, praise God! God give him back everything and more.
And even more, yeah.
What a God we serve.
What a mighty God.
What a mighty God we serve. What a living God we serve. You know, sometimes we serve God like God is not here. And, you know, oh boy, you know, the old faith talk about, you know, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And boy, that must be some good time when he was around. But you know that the same God then is the same God we serve today.
Yes.
The only problem is we don't know him. If we truly know God and understand the power that God's give to his people, we would have been rejoicing today. Even in our suffering, because we would have gone back to the scripture and would have seen the story of Job, would have seen the story of Abraham, would have seen the story of Jacob and Isaac, and would have said, what a mighty God to serve. Because he never fails. He always on time. He's always working on behalf of his children. That's why I like to sing the song that said, tell me the old story of Jesus.
Amen.
The story is not old, but sometimes we put it on the shelf so it becomes old. That story should be alive because that story is our hope and our future. If Jesus become dead to you, your faith is dead. You know that, right? And without faith, you cannot please God. A dead faith means that you have no future. We need a living faith in this time to know that when we are going through the principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness, that God is still there with us. When we are trying to tell our children that God is worthy to be praised and they are in rebellion, that we don't give up. When we are telling our spouses that you need to come back to God and they're not listening, that we should live so that they can know that God is alive. A lot of time the devil like when we fuss and fight. And when we fuss and fight, guess what? The purpose is defeated. Or you're going to tell somebody about the love of God when first you fuss and fight with them. Doesn't work like that. I share the story when I was a young Christian and I was working with this guy, and the guy was, it seemed like, you know, sometimes when you are in the path to following Christ, that the devil put obstacles in your way. You remember I talk about sometime how he used people that are close to you. This guy, he used to smoke, and I tell you, I don't know. Whenever he smoke and we working together, it just raced my heart. My heart just raced because, and I would say to him, Jim, can you not smoke when you're around? And he take it for joke to smoke. And one day I get so upset, and he said to me, you know what he said to me? He said, Ray, you think your God would like how you're behaving? You see how the devil work, right? You never see him doing anything wrong. But he said to me, oh, Ray, you think your God would like the way how you're behaving? And I said, I have failed to be a witness under pressure. So many of us fail to persevere under pressure. And the enemy walk away and laugh and say, you see, I got him again. And he's not a Christian. This is why we learn in Sabbath school this morning that we should do what? Put on the whole armor of God. Not a part of the armor, but the whole armor of God. And when we put on the whole armor of God, then whatever come our way, we'll be able to stand. I tell you, brothers and sisters, the time that we are living in is high time. The war is real. As the war was real with Job, so the war is real with us. Amen. And we got to be careful who we are listening to. Sometimes we have some issues. And when we have the issues, the people that we share the issue is the worst enemy. That's why the scripture warns us to be careful who tried to restore who. He who is spiritual restores such a one that is weak. Not everyone that you see and believe that they are on your side is working for you. And I always tell somebody, if you know that someone is your enemy, what are you going to do? You're going to watch out for them, right? And even if you do something good for them, you're still watching and said, I don't want to be too close because they are still my enemy and they will hurt me. But you see, when you trust someone, you see, when you trust someone so much that you just bask in their care, and especially someone who may not like your achievement, they may not like your spiritual walk that you're on, because you see, the things that you and them used to do, you're not doing it anymore. They will try everything to allure you back to denounce God. Why am I saying this? We must be careful who entertain us, brothers and sisters. Whenever you are going through your crucibles, find someone who you know will pray for you. But not every counsel is wise counsel. I always hear people say, you know, if it was me, I would have done this. No, your situation is not my situation. So don't put your life into my life, because our lives are different. And a lot of time we because we are going through such a painful time, we succumb to the trick of the enemy. Anytime we have a problem and somebody don't say, let us pray about it, you are in serious trouble. Because you see, my own ideas is nothing. But when I put God into my ideas, then it becomes something. You know, yesterday, one of my sister that used to come to this church called me and said, Brother Martel, I have a problem I want to talk to you about. And she was inviting me to look at a passage of scripture that they were debating over. And the first thing before she opened that Bible, I said, my sister, let us pray. Because you see, I don't want to tell you what the scripture is saying. I want the Spirit to reveal to us what the scripture is saying. And after she prayed and she talked about, you know, relieving her burden, I said, my sister, you know that God is on our side. You know that your sister loves you and she's not your problem. You know that the enemy is the one who is trying to bring this division amongst you. And he's using even the very scripture. I said, you need to pray for your sister right now, and we're going to pray for her. And when we finish praying for her, you must call her and tell her that you love her and you forgive her for the misunderstanding. If we can't do that, then we are on the enemy's side. Church, the war is real. And the enemy will not stop at anything. You know, he has no conscience. And when you have someone who doesn't have any conscience, you can't hurt him. But he will hurt you, even when you're trying to give your best. So what am I saying today? Look back at Job's life. Perfect, upright, and true evil, and terror strike. Today, we are here. And none of us know what the enemy plan is for us. But I can assure you that God had a better plan. His plan is to make sure that we inherit his kingdom. And he will do everything for us to spend eternity with him. As a matter of fact, Brother Howard mentioned this morning that your salvation is not in the future. Your salvation starts today. That's why the Bible said, if you hear his voice today, harden not your heart. Don't leave here believing that God does not care for you. God does not understand my issues that I'm going through, my pain. You know, God, I'm calling you, but you have abandoned me. Maybe God is bragging about you, knowing that you will never give up and you will stand up for him no matter what is happening. Brothers and sisters, let us embrace ourselves for the trying times. The time when it seems like everything is in an uproar at your home. When it looks like the division is so great that you want to part company. Let us remember that the person that you see is not your greatest enemy. Remember, Job, that despite all that was happening, he couldn't see the underlying behind it. But one thing I remember that Job said, he said, when his wife said, why don't you curse God and die? You see what I say, that you have to be careful who counsel you? Because some people will tell you, I would just give up on God, man. You know, you can't serve God. What kind of God would allow you, Brother Ronald, to be going through all of this at this time? Gotta be careful. And even those who are close to you might give you bad counsel. That's why Job said, you speak, my wife, with respect like one of the foolish women. One of the worst things can ever happen is when you are going through your pain, there is no support. And so, Job said, the good God, you give it, and the good God take it. Yes, what a thing if we could just come to that conclusion. That God who gives, he have the right to take. Then we wouldn't get upset, right? Can you imagine sometime, you know, and brethren, I don't know why God gave me this message to give to you, but to us, because message is not for you only, it's for us. A lot of time, the God who blesses us, we forgot him. Pride take over, and selfishness and arrogance, and so we behave that, God, now that you have done your part, can you just get out the way? I shared the story before, and I'm going to close because I don't know what time is it, but just bear with me a few more minutes. This lady, this girl and her friends, they were going out. And her mother was a Christian mother. And she said to her daughter, before you guys drive, please have a word of prayer and ask God to guide you. And the daughter's reply was, Mommy, if God wants to come with us, you have to drive in the trunk. The car later was in an accident. And the car crushed from top to the back, but the trunk of the car was intact. Everybody died. And the only spare part was the trunk. So we need to be careful how we talk about God. Because God have a listening ears. And God is respectful, you know. If we tell God that we need our space, guess what? God will give you your space. The only sad thing is that when God gives you your space, you are vulnerable to the attack of the enemy. When you suffer for righteousness' sake, give God a praise. The Bible said, because God who have started you off in the beginning, he can finish you up better than how you started. Man had been broken through the lineage of Adam, and God give us something better in Christ Jesus. So the best is yet to come for the church of God. We'll be going home soon to a better place. No more pain and suffering and quarreling and fighting and fussing and, you know, envying and all of these bad stuff. We'll be going to a better land where love is the anchor of that land. Brothers and sisters, don't give up now. It's a trying time, but victory is coming. The work is ended. The reward is coming. And those who stay faithful to the end, the Bible say, will be saved. Today, you might be at your wit end. Don't know what tomorrow gonna bring. You have tried everything and everything failed. But I want to assure you today, if you give Jesus another chance, he will make it right for you. And it doesn't mean that we're not going to be facing trying times and hardship and all of these things, but we will be assured that Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you. I would like to pray for somebody today. You have tried and you have tried, but it seems like nothing good is happening. I want to pray for you today that by God's grace, the sun will shine again. And you will experience better times. If you would like us to pray for you, I invite you to come forward. You know, we can pray. God will protect us. You know, we don't have to worry about the enemy thing. This is God's house and God is here. We want Jesus to shield us from the plans of the enemy. Don't leave this place not assuring that God is with you. And so if you are out there, we just learned that there is power in prayer. If you are out there and you want us to pray for you, just come right now, because we're not going to be standing too long to beg you to come. But if the Spirit is moving upon you right now, just come. I know that God is still on his throne. And no matter what's going on, victory can only be won in Jesus. Remember Job. And some of us, we may feel like Job today. We have lost it all. But I want to assure you that God is going to give it back to you. And more, everlasting life. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, sometimes we feel so broken, God, that we don't know how to even call to you. But we thank you, God, for the clarity of your word, that your hands are not short, that your ears are not heavy. We don't have to shout, God, for you to get your attention, because, Lord, we know that you're right here with us. Before we even came here this morning, oh God, you were here waiting for your children. And God, you had promised that you have come here to bless your children. Thank you, God, for the promises of your word. Loving Father, we sing the song many times that burdens are lifted at Calvary. God, you have invited us to come this morning, and we are standing in your very presence. Each of us' cases are different, God, and you know that. But we are asking you right now, oh God, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to intervene. God, we know that no case is too far gone that you cannot have victory. No pain is too severe, oh God, for you to heal. No wound is so deep, oh God, that you cannot restore us to good health. No heart, oh God, is so broken that you cannot mend. What a mighty God you are. Father, thank you for the assurance that when we come to you, oh God, you promise that you will in no wise cast us away. Thank you, God. Lord, today we are praying that you may heal us in such a way that we may leave this place rejoicing. Homes are broken, God. We know the enemy is the instigator. Lives are torn apart. Some have lost their security in their jobs. Some is their health, oh God, that is broken. Lord, we are asking you today to come close, to embrace your children. Some of us, oh God, we are looking back. We are looking back, oh God, saying, where is our children? They have been taken captive, God, and we are praying that today, wherever they are, oh God, you are the mighty shepherd, that you may find them and bring them home. Dear Heavenly Father, There are some wives that are hoping that their husband would join them to worship you, for you're worthy to be praised. There are some husbands, God, that are looking for their wives. Please, God, restore the homes. Restore the homes in the name of Jesus. Break down all the barriers. Every stronghold of the enemy, we come against it in the name of Jesus. And we are asking, oh God, that you may dry the tears of those who mourn and bring comfort. Lord, in a special way, I pray, God, for Sister Brown and her family. We pray for the husband and the son that is left behind. We do not know, God, why you allow this, but we know that you have a plan, and your plan is a good plan. Oh, Father, give us coping skills at this time to persevere. Lord, I ask now that the blessed Holy Spirit, the comforter that you have promised that will comfort us, that he may come and comfort us in a way where we can find surety in your word. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you and praise you that the story of Job did not end without you showing us what you have in store for us at the end. Thank you, Father. And I just pray now, God, that you may cover our children. Cover their mind at school. God, we see the enemy trying to destroy their mind. Cover their mind. Cover them. Put the whole armor upon our children. Oh, God, we thank you. We praise you. That you promise us, God, that when we call, you will answer. And while we are still calling, help is on the way. God, we praise you today because we know that you have answered and you will come to our rescue. In the mighty and precious name of Jesus, we say amen.
Amen.